Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mitchell, 12th Hour Apostolic Shabbatarian Congregation on top of 12th Hour in Irvine, Texas. Today is February 10th, 2018, or it is Shabbat 25, 2021. We will start our first service on the Sabbath day with a song entitled The Pearly White City. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is Yah. Also descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. His mighty waters of jasper, the city itself is pure gold. And when my fountain here is folded, my shadow's glory behold. In the bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a heart and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city I saw coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling nor mean. No pain and no sickness can enter, no cripple or dog not is seen. The sorrows and cares are forgotten, no tempter is there to have more. No parting words ever are spoken, there's nothing to hurt and destroy. In the bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city I saw coming down. No heartaches are known in that city, no tears ever moistened the heart. There's no disappointment in heaven, no envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy, they live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday his blessings I'll share. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city I saw coming down. My loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends too are passing away, and soon I shall join the bright number and grant an eternity's day. Your safe now in glory with Yeshua. Her trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and tempter. Every set their city at last. In every city, every white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city and soul coming down. Part 1. Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is Matthew 5:48. That's our memory verse for the day. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And Matthew 19:21, it says, Yahshua said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Luke 1:3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Luke 6:40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. That's all I'm going to say on that. That's all of our memory verse. That was Luke 6:40. Okay, let's now go to Matthew 5 and read the whole chapter and start with verse 1. We're going to start with, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of the Yahweh. Blessed are they which are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, and if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. For ye are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now we go to Romans 3:31. They have to add to it here. Do we then make void the law through the faith? Faith in what? In the blood of the everlasting covenant, Yahweh forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We establish the law by showing our faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. And verse 18 of Matthew 5, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law. Now notice it didn't say just from the word, from every word, it says pass from the law. Not one jot or one tittle. So that law of Moses had to be practiced just like it was in the Old Testament, 100%. It has to be practiced. For those that want salvation, for those that are called to have eternal life, they have to practice the law of Moses 100%. The daily, they got to practice that, be faithful with their daily. The leadership most assuredly has to do that, perfect that. You got to perfect your health, have to have Yahweh's blessing on everything. Thought, word, and deed that you do. And I'm going to continue on now with verse 19 of Matthew 5. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, the least commandments, one of these least commandments. What is a least commandment? The daily is a commandment. Twice a day. That's a commandment. That's maybe a least commandment, but it's a commandment. And shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Well, Brother Johnson, when I said that day, I got a message from heaven, he says, restore the daily. He said, oh no, we're next to the daily when we get into the land. We don't have to keep the daily here. I said, well, you restored it two times before. You restored it, and then you quit doing it, and then you had a demand made upon you by somebody wanting to join you. He said, well, if you'll restore the daily, I'll join you. He said, okay, well then, all right, we'll restore the daily. So Rodas restored the daily in 1983, and the people joined him. But those people, they left and went and joined our adversary, the Rodanites. These people that joined us, they backslid and went and joined the Rodanites after Rhoda Johnson restored the daily. But I say that woman was sent there to influence Rhoda Johnson to restore that daily that he restored in 1970. I think that's the main reason she was sent there. And then Rhoda Johnson rescinded it again, got lax and quit doing it. And then when I told him in 2002 that the message from heaven said restore the daily, I said, if you don't do it, I'll do it. He said, well, we don't do the daily until we get into the land. Well, where does he get the authority for that? So anyway, it says here in Matthew 5:19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Well, he taught the whole congregation. Brother Johnson taught the whole congregation. Well, now, it's too inconvenient. Because my wife, she was the one that brought it up, and she says, you can't do that. Well, you've got a son that's got a business, and he's employing people, and they can't shut down at those hours every day. So because those people working for him don't believe like he does anyway, and so he can't do that, brother. She's just going to have to rethink that and pull that back off the shelf. And stop teaching that and enforcing it. So Brother Johnson did, and so that's why Yahweh could not continue on with him past a certain point that he had commissioned for Brother Johnson. He gave him a 33.5-year commission. His commission was up at the Solemn Assembly of 2002. I gave him that message in July of 2002, and by September of July of 2002, then his commission was over, come to his end. And the only hope that he had, and the church, the Gilead Center, was to accept the message that I gave from heaven and join me. Because I had been appointed as a new leader, and just join me and continue on. We'd have been together today if he'd have done that. We'd been together today right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. But you see, that's the way it goes. So he says, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Yahweh continued on with us because I said, I'll restore it. And I intend to keep my word, and I've kept my word to demand that this be recognized, and we are in the process of perfection today. It's taken 15 years to perfect all the ordained system of true worship, and we're in the process of perfecting our health and everything. We haven't 100% arrived yet. But we're making new declarations, and the Heavenly Father is telling us what to do, and He's honoring us for it. We pray this for Africa. We pray this for Jeff White, that they also will grow in the Spirit and perfect righteousness there. And whatsoever they eat, drink, say, or do, you can go read about that in Isaiah 33:15. Yeah. It tells you that very thing that I just said. It says, let's read verse 14, Isaiah 33. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, and he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high, verse 16, Isaiah 33. His place of the defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, they shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Now, what is the scribe? The question mark is, where is the scribe? He's asking, where is the interpreter of the law? And that's what a scribe is. He's an interpreter of the law of Moses. Where is the receiver? Where is the one that records what the scribe interprets from the law? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech, and thou canst perceive of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down, not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Yeshua will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall a gallant ship pass thereby. For the Yeshua is our judge, the Yeshua is our lawgiver. This is talking about the Son, Yeshua. Yahushua. The Yahushua is our King. He will save us. I've been pronouncing it with seven letters, Yeshua, but he's supposed to pronounce it that U in there, Yahushua. That would make it eight letters, but meaning eight means a new order. That's who we are. We're the eighth. We're the new order. We're the Yahushua. Not the Yahshua, but the Yahushua. Okay? Verse 23 of Isaiah 33. Thy tacklings are loose. They could not well strengthen their mass. They could not spread the sail. Who is this? Kermit, Texas. That's who they were, the ones that was before us that we took the handoff from, that we were placed to sit up. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lamb take the prey. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lamb take the prey. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. What happened when Abraham went and rescued Lot from those five kings that kidnapped Lot and his family and all of his cattle? What happened? Abraham went and took his men, and they destroyed those wicked men and delivered Lot. Okay? And Abraham wouldn't take no spoil. He said, no, no, no. He said, That goes to the people. The lamb take the prey. Abraham says, I don't need the spoils. Yahweh blessed him with such great riches. He said, I don't need those spoils. I'm not going to take no spoils. And I'm going to take a tenth of all of this and pay it to Melchizedek, the king of peace there that dwells at Salem, which is Jerusalem today. And so Abraham paid tithe in Melchizedek. He took a great spoil, he paid tithe in, and he gave the rest of it to the people. Abraham was a righteous, noble person. Let's go back to Isaiah 33, read verse 1. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. So, the leader of the kingdom is supposed to deal treacherously with his enemy. He's not supposed to live comfortably side by side with his enemy and accept him and his heathen ways. Oh, Yahshua, this is the son talking here. Isaiah talking to Yahshua. Yahushua. Oh, Yahushua, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning. Our salvation also in the time of trouble. So, be our salvation also in the time of trouble, as well as in peace. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoils shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as a running to and fro of the locust shall he run upon them. Yahshua is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of the salvation, for the fear of the Yahshua is his treasure. Behold, their violent ones shall cry without, the ambassadors of the peace shall weep bitterly, for the highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceaseth, he hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the city, he regardeth no man. So it says, Isaiah 24:5, let's go look at that. It says, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the law, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. That's what it's talking about over in Isaiah 33. He said, they've broken the everlasting covenant there in verse 8. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceases. He has broken the covenant. What covenant? The everlasting covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languishes. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness. And Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I rise, saith the Yahshua. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. For the sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, and stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Try to pick up where we left off here. We're on verse about, we just finished verse 19. Let's read that verse 19 again, Matthew 5. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean, called the least in the kingdom of heaven? Apparently, then, there come a judgment day when the people that were representatives and leaders of the kingdom, in the kingdom, they were called to account for their leadership, for their judgment. And what happened? When they found a leader there, now this is in Matthew 24. When they found a leader there that was eating and drinking with a drunkard, what did they do to him? The main leader, the number one leader, he was caught cavorting with the members of his church and apostatizing and eating and drinking with a drunken. So it says there right there in Matthew 24. It goes right on over there, and it says about. Let's start with verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your master doth come. Says, watch. Well, how do you watch? You watch and keep in tune with present truth as it unfolds each day. And if you do that, that's called watching. That's called watching. And Yahshua said, I will reveal to you through your message that I give you every day. I will reveal to you what is your next move and what you are to know and understand to move forward. I will reveal it to you on a daily basis. That's what it's called watching. So it says in verse 42, Matthew 24, watch therefore, for you know not what your master doth hour your master doth come. Well, if you're performing your vows, and you have been given the commission to restore the ordained system of the true worship, which Brother Johnson was given, and he restored it all in 1970, so we were watching. We started watching in 1970, and lo and behold, we got down to 1971, just 1 year. 1 year. And we got to the Passover, 1 year, and Brother Johnson, with his leadership, got derailed. He got derailed off of the path, and he lost his vision at the Passover of 71. And he never did regain it. But guess what? We had to go on for, oh my goodness, 71, we had to go 29, we had to go another 31 years under that leadership of a prophet that had lost his direction. And from then on, it was his own inventions. He invented 1974. That we're to go into the land, stand on Mount Zion with the Lamb, 1974, and meet with 144,000 at the Pentecost. We're going to all get on a flying saucer and go. The man completely lost his direction because he fulfilled this right here in Matthew 24. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. This literally happened to Brother Johnson. At a new moon Sabbath at a 2 o'clock meeting in the afternoon, he left his house unlocked, and the thief across the street was watching him when he left. And the thief come and entered into his house and stole over $5,000. So, that happened at the sacred hour. And he said, and so the thief came and broke his house up. And that literally happened. Now, number one, Brother always locked his house. But for some reason, he got lax on locking his house, and especially on holy days. Oh, Yahweh protect us. Okay. So it says in Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What hour? What hour is that? That's your 12th hour. That's the hour that he comes. And guess what? All the prophets down through the ages apparently have had trouble with this 12th hour. They've had trouble with it. The disciples had trouble with the 12th hour. But it says in Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And it goes over there in 1 Thessalonians 5:6. It gives us a little bit more insight on who will recognize when the good man comes, when the Master Yeshua comes. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's read verse 1. Let's start with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahshua so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman or a child, and they shall not escape. And this is what happened at Kermit. We had the ordinance of the true worship, and we thought that because we believed in it, even though we had fallen away and wasn't performing our vows the way that the law calls for, nevertheless, we felt comfortable and secure with our leader. That he was, that when it come time to make a move, that Yahweh would show it to him. That's how brainwashed we were, off to that very time. But it says, for when they shall say peace and safety, and that's all Brother Jonathan taught was peace and safety for Gilead sinners. That's all he taught. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Well, it did. It came suddenly. As travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall escape. So you can understand my feelings whenever I tell you that. I've been through all this, literally. I have walked through all of this. I started walking and introduced to the rod in 1948. That was 70 years ago, folks. And I started, that's when I started my sojourn with the rod. At 10 years old. And then, 1970, I was reintroduced to the rod with Brother Johnston. So I went 22 years. Fighting with the rod people. And then I met Rose in 1970, and I went another 33 years with him, battling with him. So I've had a total of 55 years, folks, going down this road of indoctrination. I started out in 1938, born as an Adventist, an Adventist church. So I had my first 10 years was under my mother's teaching and under her teaching, and she did well. And then we met the rod people, and then we met the Johnson. I've been through it. I've been through the whole thing. 80 years. I've been 80 years indoctrinated into the three steps of the genuine mood of the Seventh-day Adventist. You don't know how Yahweh calls people? He preordains them to these things. He preordains them. From before they're even born. Before they're even conceived. He has their name written in a book. That's the way it was with Isaiah and Jeremiah, both of them. For sure. David also. And we're playing the role of antitypical David right here. We're in the restoration of all things. So it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but ye brethren are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of righteousness and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For Yahweh hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, who died for us. Now here's Paul telling these Gentile Thessalonians, he says, Yahshua died for us. Well, naturally, because they were alive at that time. But that's the only ones that Yahshua died for that were alive, was those that's preordained for salvation to be leaders in his kingdom. They were the only ones that Yahshua died for. He didn't die for those sinners and heathen that was not preordained and called to be leaders in the kingdom back then. So Paul saying, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Yahshua, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. See? We weren't at peace among ourselves down there in Tarmac. The rodents were not at peace among themselves. They were the fightingest family going. I mean, they had bitter fighting between the husband and the wife, and the wife and the son, Buck. They all had a power struggle there at the New Mount Carmel. They was all just full of themselves. So it says now in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. That's enough of that. Let's go back now to Matthew 24. Let's read for verse 45. Who then? Let's read 44 again. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Well, I knew in 2002, when we were having all that conflict and coming, and things were coming to a head down there, and I knew that we were coming into a new phase of the movement. And Yahweh gave me messages every day, every day, every day. He gave me the message of what to do, and I would deliver them. So it's asking the question here in Matthew 24:45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Who then? It says, who then? It's asking the question. Is a faithful. It didn't say it just said, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who is? Which one of you? And in the great paradox of Etiolus, he says, that wise servant, we need to read it, whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Really, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Now, Luke 12:44 reiterates this also. Let's go read it. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Alright, let's read a little bit earlier now in Luke chapter 12. Let's read verse 38. Let's just read verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, Master, speakest thou this parable unto us, even or even to all? And Yeshua said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants, maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. This is in Luke now 12, verse 45. The master of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his master will, and prepared not himself, neither did according unto his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism. This is Yeshua talking here. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. Well, what happened down at Kermit? Yeshua appeared there at the threshold of the house at the Passover. And what did he do? Brother Johnson just got through preaching and says, the Holy Spirit's going to do for y'all tonight what you haven't been able to do for the last 32 years and bring these two groups here into unity. These on my left and these on my right, he said, and he pointed them out. I was on the right and his family, his wife and his family was on the left. And Alan DeLong was on the left with them. Instead of being with us on the right side, Alan sitting with us, he was sitting with his wife on the left. And that's where Alan ended up. He ended up on the left and spewed out and cast out. I saw it and prophesied it. All the way. From the time that he took atonement with Brother Johnson instead of me and gave him a $300 offering, I said right then and there, I said, he's with them. His heart is with them. It's not with us. So it says in Luke 12:52, For from henceforth there shall be five, and one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. And the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, There cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, There will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? And what Yeshua said in John 11:9, Are there not 12 hours in a day, he said to his disciples, Work while you have the light. As long as that sun is still up, you can work. That's the most important thing to do, is work for your fellow man 12 hours of the day. However many hours you have of daylight, work for your fellow man. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. All right, let's go back to now. Matthew 24 and Luke chapter 12 talks about the same subject, so that's very good. Matthew 24, verse 45, Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? That's the question mark. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so done. So when Yahshua came at the threshold of the house in 2002, I was contending with Rhoda Johnson started in 2001. January the 27th, 2001, I started contending with Brother Johnson and the members of the church and Gilead Center all together, the whole congregation. I started contending with them with Matthew 18. I started with Matthew 18. And I contended with them for 18 months. From January through the September of 2002. That's how long Yahweh gave me to bring the message to the Brother Johnson to get him to hear and adhere to them and reform. 18 months. Okay. Really, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But in it that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And Brother Johnson was not aware of the 12th hour. He was only aware of the 11th. He could teach that 11th hour, I mean, as the last hour, he could teach it with authority, because Leviti Halef laid that down, that the 11th hour was the last hour, and Ben Roden, he taught it, and Brother Johnson, he picked it right up and taught that thing. But he did allude to the fact that we're going to stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, and that we're going to spend the 12th hour in the land of Israel. We spend the 11th hour here in the wilderness. But here we are, we're still in the wilderness, and we're in the 12th hour, and have been in the 12th hour since 2002, and he knew it not. He's in his grave, because he knew it not. They're all in their grave now, practically, the leaders. Starting with their son, he died in 1999. Brother Johnson, the grandmother, Laura May's mother, died in 2002. Brothers died in 2012, and Laura May died in 2016. So they're all gone. Apparently then they didn't know what hour they were in. They didn't know whether it was about the season of time. Alright. Then it says in Matthew 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Okay. Now notice it said, be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Okay, this happened in 2002 at the Passover. The whole congregation being separated in a mixed congregation of the sheep and the goats. Brother Johnson identified us that night. He said, those on the left and those on the right, these two groups are going to be united tonight. No, those two groups were separated that night. Because Yeshua came from a long journey, and he came to the threshold of the house, and he separated the two groups. He didn't bind them together, he separated them. And it says in Matthew 25:2, and five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Man, that's bad. You go on a journey? Because, see, these people are going on a journey. In other words, they rose up, they trimmed their lamps, they put oil in their lamps. Because they've got to go on a journey. In other words, they're called to go out to meet the bridegroom wherever he's at, because the bridegroom is going to take them on a journey. Why didn't the bridegroom just come into their house and say, here I am? Y'all are going to stay right here, and I'm going to unite you two groups. No, that's not in the parable. The parable is contrary to that. Matthew 25:4. that the wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at the midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Okay. So here is an invitation to come out of your bedchambers, come out of your house. Because you're dressed now. You're completely fully dressed, you've got your lamp, and the bridegroom, he's over yonder. He didn't come to your house. He didn't come and knock on your door and say, I need to come in. Here I am. No. He had a place all of his own somewhere else. And he said to these here 10 virgins, he says, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Well, usually when the man takes a bride, she gets herself ready. He goes to her house. And he picks her up from her house. He takes her to the chapel where they get married. Okay? Then it says in Matthew 25:7, Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp, and the fruiters said unto the wives, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wives answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Okay, so now, the five wives, they went to the bridegroom, they went to his door, where he was, and they went into the marriage, and the door was shut. What happened with Noah and the ark? They went into the ark, and the door was shut. The people banged on the ark's door, and they said, Let us in. We believe now. We believe you, Noah. But Noah didn't shut that door. Some awesome power from heaven shut that door. And so, it would take some awesome power to open it. And those people didn't have connection with that awesome power. Okay, so likewise is that same way down there coming. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Where was this bridegroom at? He came to him and he said, Come on out now and meet me. They went to his house. Where was his house at? It was in that flying saucer. It was in that flying saucer. That flying saucer sat down on the ground, no doubt. But it was at another location. And they knew where it was at, and they went out to meet him. Because the five wise virgins knew where it was at. The five foolish virgins didn't know where it was at. And Matthew 25:11 says, Afterwards came also the other virgins, that's the five foolish, saying, Master, Master, open unto us. What about those people at the flood? They went and not banged on the door and said, open up to us. We believe now. We'll come in. Okay. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So, you watch therefore, because for 33 years down at Kermit, we watched every year. I was there, 1970 on, with Gilead Center. We watched every year. And we watched for every day. Well, will this be the year? Will this be the year? No, no. Well, it says 1974 will be the year. Well, and finally he said 2002 at the Passover. Is the set time. He will come and get us. 2002. Well, set that time also. But it didn't happen. For them, it didn't. Okay, so because it says said right here in Matthew 25:13. Watch ye therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour. So Brother Johnson didn't know the day, which was the Passover day of 2002. And the hour was the 12th hour, opening of the seventh seal. And it says, beginning there in 2002, didn't know the day nor the hour. So it says in Matthew 25:14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, unto every man according unto his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents, and likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his master's money. After a long time the master of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Master, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His master saith unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Yahushua, your master. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Master, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His master saith unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent, thy talent, in the earth. So lo, there, thou hast that is thine. So he said, see, he said, I didn't destroy it. Here it is. This belongs to you. It don't belong to me. His master answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not sowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Okay, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to close this service now with Matthew 8:11. It says, And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This brings the close of our study. This hour contest at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Let the heavenly light shine through by Elijah Davis. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful Yah if he had created you. And you would not have known about his past creation and all that he can do. So draw near unto Yah, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah, in the places when he comes, then we'll have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah, in the places when he comes, then we'll have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth if Yah had never come down. He spoke the word of creation, heard in the world for the standing around. Yeah, he spoke the word and a sure did buy this from the night. And y'all saw that brook was good, created by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. Y'all ain't blessed when it comes, but then we'll have a heavenly home for you. Well, you climb upon a mountain and you look around. There's a green valley below. There's a moon up above that's a shining with love. There's a peaceful river that flows. There's the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all the heaven can spare. And to think that this is just a glimpse of what's awaiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all have mercy when it comes, and you'll have a heavenly home for you. And y'all have mercy when it comes, and you'll have a heavenly home.